Shalom to all. Today's Avs Yerushalmi Yivam Estav Chavah Gimel, and we are talking about a third of the way into the Amud with Halacha Gimel. And today's Avs sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mem Sarbas Yaka Moshe Hernish Amos Shet Haven Aliyah. So the Mishnah tells us Shemeres Yavam Shenafla Nechasim. If Shemeres Yavam had Nechasim fall to her, which means her husband Reuven died, she's a Shemeres Yavam. She's awaiting Yibam by Shemin, and then Nechasim fall to her, which means she either got a Yerusha or maybe someone gave her something or she found something that's Hefker. So Madi Bisham Beishil Bisham and Beishil both agree in this case. Shehi Mecheres Menesanis Vakayim. She could sell it or give it away, and that's valid. It's solid. It stays. And over here is that even though when she's 100% married, she would not be allowed to sell these things. That's because her husband has rights to them. Here, the Zika Zibam itself is not strong enough to prevent her from selling them or giving them away, and so it's perfectly fine. However, here we're going to have Machlaikas. Mesa, let's say in the state of being a Shemeres Yavam, she dies. What do we do with her Ksuba and then a Chasim that go in and out with her? Her Ksuba is the payment that her husband is supposed to give her if he dies or divorces her, and she technically was supposed to receive that payment because her husband had died first. So where does that money go? And also the property that goes in and out with her. That's also known as nichse mulug. These are properties that she brings into the marriage. They remain hers. The guf of the property is hers, but the husband still has rights to them. So the question is, what do we do with this now that she died? Who yarshins her? So Bisham says, Yachleku yarsha b'am yarsha av. We have to do a split. Yachleku, the yarshim of the husband, which means the yavam, that would be Reuven, and the yarshim of the father, which are her yarshim from her side. They would split everything over here 50-50, and we're explaining the Gemara why that is. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, hanachasim cheskasan. These properties remain in their original known chazakah. Therefore, ksuba b'cheskas yarsha baal, the ksuba is in the chazakah of the yarshim of the husband. Since the ksuba payment is coming from the husband, it's his properties, it's something that he has to pay out to her, so it's 100% considered in his chazakah and his rishos. Therefore, it goes to his yarshim, which would be Shimon over here. Whereas in a chasim and chasim v'yetzim ima, the chasim that go in and out with her, b'cheskas yarsha av, that's in the chazakah of her yarshim, because as we said, it's really hers all along, and therefore they get those properties. We more quotes Mishnah, Shemar Yisim, Shemar Yisim, Shemar Yisim, so now we ask on Beis Shammai, trying to understand the difference between the resha and the Seifa. Over here in the Rish of the Mishnah, Beis Shammai agrees that anything she gets, she could sell. It's no problem. Whereas in the Seifa of the Mishnah, Mesa, she dies. What do you do with her Ksuba? But over here, you Beis Shammai say that she has to split it 50-50. What's the difference between the Rish and the Seifa? So Rabbi Yisrael Chanini, he explains, after she said the Rish of the Mishnah, that she could sell it or give it away, and that's perfectly valid. That's Mishnah. It's referring to things that fell to her, that came to her before she became a Shemeres Yavam. Whereas Bahadat Omri Yachalik Yerusha Baal Yerusha Av, that she said that they're going to split this, that's Bishanafula Mishanasa Shemeres Yavam, regarding things that fell to her only after she became a Shemeres Yavam. Let's explain. When she gets something during her marriage, it's 100% hers, and her husband only gets the pay rise. For example, if she gets an apple tree, the tree is hers, and the apples are for the husband. That could also be a building, which would generate rent, that would be pay rise, but an apple tree is just easier. The point is, it's not fully the husband's. Therefore, when he dies and his brother, the Yavam, stands to yarshin him, this tree isn't part of that discussion, because it wasn't ever fully Reuven's anyway. Mimela, she could do whatever she wants with it. That's the Reisha of the Mishnah, that she can sell it, give it away, and it's 100% fine. As opposed to when she got this tree after Reuven died, it's actually already considered to be in the Yavam's Rishos, therefore he has a claim to it. That's why the Seifa is different than the Reisha. And taking this one step further, Nafula ad shelo'nas Shemeres Yavam, let's say something fell to her before she became a Shemeres Yavam, but then va'asu peiros mishenas Shemeres Yavam, it then produced fruit after she became a Shemeres Yavam, k'mishe nafula mishenas Shemeres Yavam. So this peiros have the din of something that fell to her when she became a Shemeres Yavam. Once again, there would be the same claim to it, just like we mentioned before. Now we explain what exactly the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is. Amar Reb Zeira, he says, Hayin Yavam d'hacha tzricha. The question over here, meaning the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, is regarding the Yavam. Le Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, kibalhu oy ene kibal. It's a suffix. Is he 100% like the husband, or maybe he's not like the husband? In kibalhu, if you want to say he's mamish like the husband, so yarshas akol. He should yarshin everything because he's like the husband. We know the husband yarshins his wife when he dies. So when the Yavama died, the Yavam who has zikas yibam to her should yarshin everything. However, im einay kabal, if he's not like the husband, lo yarsh klum, he shouldn't yarshin anything. Therefore, everything of hers should go to her yarshim. And therefore, misafik yachalik yarsha baal yarsha av. And we know mamon amotav b'safik chalkin. At any time we're b'safik when it comes to mamonis, we just split it 50-50. And that's why Beis Shammai had said in the Seif of the Mishnah, we're going to split everything equally in between the yarsha baal, which is the Yavam, and yarsha av, which are her relatives. Whereas chalkin will base on top at Beis Hillel, according to Beis Hillel, pshita lan chu kabal. It's obvious that the Yavam, because of his zikas yibam, is just like the husband. So now we ask, if that's really so, Yarshas Akal, so why doesn't Yarshin everything? Why are we saying certain things, the Nechse Mulug, that they go to her Yarshim and not to the Yavam? And the answer is, Shekein Afilu Achiv Ein Loi El Achilas Peres Belvad. That's because even the brother, meaning even Reuven, her deceased husband, he didn't have 100% rights to the Nechse Mulug. He only had the rights to the pay rice, as we explained. Mela, at maximum, the Yavam only has rights to the pay rice, and so when she dies, those Nechse Mulug are really 100% hers, and that's why they go to her Yarshim. We continue discussing, Tanur Bushai teaches in Brysa, Yarsha Ishu HaYashim is Ksubasa, the Yashim who inherited her Ksuba, which for all intents and purposes over here would be the Yavam, Chayavim Bikvurasa, they're Chayav to bury her. And that's because we have Mishnah Ksubas that tells us that Ksuba, or the Nedunya that she brings in, is Keneged Kavura. The husband has the rights to Yashin or Ksuba, or the Nedunya that she brings in, but he has a Chayav to bury her. And it's the same thing with the Yashim over here of her Ksuba, the Yavam, he has to bury her. Now, Amar Biyasa, comments on this. Related to Nisa or Bashaya, if not for Bashaya teaching us this, have a Shrichas on, this would have been a question to us. It would not have been 100% clear. Why is that? Because Me'achar She'ain L'Ksuba, Ain L'Kvura. Let's say she doesn't deserve a Ksuba, which means let's say she didn't bring a Nedunya into the marriage, so maybe the Yavam shouldn't have to bury her. Now, clarifying this, Vakasha, we ask, Ilu Isha She'ain L'Ksuba, Shema Ain L'Kvura? What, if a woman doesn't have a Ksuba, if she didn't bring in a Nedunya, her husband doesn't have to bury her? Of course he would have to bury her. So what's Rabbi Yaisa saying that we'd have a question about this? The clarification is that Isha, a regular wife, Afal Pi She'ain L'Ksuba, Yash L'Kvura, even if she didn't bring in a Nedunya to the marriage, still, if she dies before her husband has a chiv to bury her. Ramhacha, however, over here, since we're just talking about Zika Ziyibum, so then we would have a tzad to say that Im Yashla Ksuba, Yashla Kvura, if she has a Ksuba, if she had brought an Adunya in originally, and now the Yavim is inheriting that, so then he would have to bury her. But Im Ain't Laksuba, if she doesn't have Ksuba, Ain't Lakvura. Maybe the Yavim doesn't have to bury her. And that's where Rabbi Shai is very helpful, says Rabbi Yaisa, then now he clarifies this for us that the Yavim does have to bury her either which way. Mugat Allah Chadal, the Mishnah tells us, Kansa, if the Yavim married the Yavama, Harehi Keishal Chaldavar, she's considered his wife in regards to everything, and therefore, if he wants to now send her away, he would have to give her a regular get because she's a regular wife. He doesn't do chalitza to her. However, there is one thing that she's not considered as 100% wife in regards to. Ubalvat she takes ksubas al nechse bailo rishon. Her ksuba payment is based on the chasim of her first husband, which means that if Shimon were to divorce her, he doesn't have to use his own properties to pay her ksuba. Her ksuba is connected to her original husband, to Reuven's properties. That's because the Gemara in Bavli explains, Isha hiknu lo mishamayim. Hashem, Shamayim, was makne him a woman. It's not like he chose her. It's as if Hashem said, here, Shimon, I have a wife for you to marry. Therefore, not mechayev the Yavam to take from his properties to pay her ksuba. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Kansari Keshtel Chaldavar V'chulu. And before we continue, let's just clarify what we had just mentioned, and it's based off of Mishnah Maseches Ksubas. When a regular husband gets married and writes a ksuba, so not only all the properties that he currently owns are meshubit to pay that ksuba, but also the ones that he will buy in the future are meshubit to the ksuba. Therefore, if he can't pay, she could collect from properties already sold, or even if the original properties got ruined, she's allowed to collect from the new ones. So in essence, she has no need to fear. She's soimech das, and memela, her husband's allowed to sell any properties that he wants. However, in the case of Yibum, it's different. As we had just said in the Mishnah, the Yavam doesn't use his own property for the ksuba, rather comes from the original husband. Therefore, she has no smichas das, because she has limited places to collect from. Therefore, the Yavam is not allowed to sell the properties that he was yirish from his brother Reuven. So knowing that, we pick up with a brisa that tells us, ketzed u'oiseh, what's he supposed to do? Let's say he wants to sell Reuven's properties, but he's not allowed to, because they're meshubed to the ksuba. Therefore, what does he do? Kindness, he marries her, which means he marries the Yavama, he does Yibam, umegarish, then he divorces her, umachzir, and then he remarries her, he shavers la'el ksubasa, and she writes him a shaver, a receipt on her ksuba, ki'ilu that she received her ksuba, and now this new marriage comes along with a new ksuba that's coming from Shimon's properties, because again, it's a brand new marriage, he divorced and remarried her, and now he's allowed to sell Reuven's properties. Now, Rabbi Yisrael just clarifies, let's dadin himas nisa. What we just read is really an either or. Either he could divorce her and then remarry her, or even without divorcing her, she could just write him a shiver, she could write him a receipt that I received my ksuba, and now all of Reuven's properties are free to be sold. However, that no. In this situation, when he was miyabim her, divorced her, and then remarried her, it's only if he actually rewrote a ksuba, so then her ksuba is on his properties, and then Reuven's properties are free to be sold. But if he did not rewrite a ksuba, her ksuba is still based off of her original husband's properties, and that's even though the Yavim had already divorced her and remarried her. And Rabbi Yisrael Amar Rishayim Rechizda, the Masnis Amarkin, we have a Mishnah that tells us this. A Mishnah Ksuba says, Shamagarsha Isha, if a man divorces his own wife, Echzira, and he remarries her, Amras Ksuba Harishan Echzira, he's remarrying her with intention that everything's based off of the first Ksuba. And it's only if he rewrites the Ksuba do we say, okay, we follow the new Ksuba. And it's the same thing with the Yavama. Now, just to clarify this idea of being Mechadesh the Ksuba, rewriting a brand new Ksuba, which is only coming from Shimon. Soif davar ad she yachnes v'yigarsh v'yachzer. Is it ultimately that he has to be miyabim her, divorce her, and then remarry her, and that's the only way to mechadesh the ksuba? Why can't he just be miyabim her and then just rewrite her brand new ksuba instead of relying on Reuven's ksuba, the original one? Just rewrite her brand new one coming from him, Shimon the Yavam. That would be perfectly fine. The Gemara says you're right. It's just that deruba asamemer lecha. We're just being mechadesh something even more for you. Of course, we just said it's correct if he simply miyabim her and rewrites her a brand new ksuba coming from him. So then that that is considered a brand new ksuba, and he could sell Reuven's properties. So what is the chiddush? Afilu kansa v'girsha v'chzira. Even if he was miyabim, divorced her, and then remarried her, it's only im chiddush la ksuba, ksubas on the chasav. He has to rewrite a new ksuba, then the ksuba is based off of his properties. But vimlav, if he didn't rewrite her new ksuba, ksubas on the chsebaila rishon, her ksuba is still based off of the original husband, even though, again, that he divorced and remarried her. We don't assume that there's a new ksuba taking place. He has to actually rewrite a brand new ksuba, and only then the ksuba is on his properties, which would then allow him to sell Reuven's. Now, another din about a woman dying and where the ksuba goes. He says that Arusa Shemesa, if an Arusa died, we know the first stage of marriage is Erusin. He's Makadisher. For all intents and purposes, they're considered married. They still have to go the full way to Nisuin. So let's say we have an Arusa that died. Ain lo ksuba. She doesn't get a ksuba. And the reason why it's necessary to say this is because that when it's Nisuin, it's full marriage, and she dies, her husband yarshins her. But with Erusin, he doesn't. So maybe the Arus has to give her yarshim the ksuba. Kamash Mohan, he doesn't have to. And why is that? Shaloi Hotchali Nase L'Shuk. That's because she was never permitted to marry somebody else. Namely, in the ksuba it's written, L'Shetinase La'acher Titli Masha Kasov Lichi, when you marry somebody else, you can take that which is written for you. But over here, she died, so she can't exactly marry somebody else, and that's why she doesn't get the ksuba. Now, Chavdal Ramar Alpha on top, the added chedesh is, Shaloi Toimar, you shouldn't say, Yasek Misha Girish. This should be like he divorced her, V'yehela ksuba, and then she does get a ksuba. L'fum Kain Sarach Meimar, in the ksuba, that's why I have to say she doesn't get a ksuba. In other words, don't say that maybe an Arusa dying is like a grusha, that just like when a woman gets divorced, she receives a ksuba. So perhaps ksuba payment is dependent on the severing of the bond of the marriage. And here too, when the Arusa died, the bond is severed. So maybe she does get a ksuba. Kimash Milan, she doesn't. We're going to start for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Hey with another Mishnah. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.